Got you. Oh, there you are. There
There we
he
go.
is. He's back.
I was just fixing. I got a lot of stuff accomplished. Migrated the blog, migrated all my pages pretty much from Squarespace. I haven't
What's the
officially
applause
shut it off
button?
yet. However, in trying to have it help me fix the menus at the top of the page, it just flipping overwrote them. It can't edit. It can only fully write. And so it stripped every one of the indented lists out. I just noticed it today.
In the
It's been like
menus.
a few days. Yeah. So like anything that wasn't at top levels was just gone, which is like all of the tooling and all the tool holders. And that's the dangers of AI.
On the Shopify side?
I just fixed a bunch of them. I can't remember most of them, honestly. So it's like, I guess I'm redoing the
Oh,
navigation.
shoot. Didn't you have a little backdrop like a good boy?
I don't know how do you back that up? I guess you can back up your whole theme.
Back up
Does
your
that
whole
do
theme.
that?
Yeah, I think. I assume that does menus. I hope it would.
I was about to yell at my agent, but it's on my laptop and I'm not using that. And then we were about to talk and I was like, I guess I'm just fixing this quick.
So, if you haven't, not like a long time listener, you might not know that this is the longest running thread of Parts Department is Justin's Squarespace to Shopify migration.
It's basically like the right at the beginning. Yeah. I started probably 2022. Yeah. And I finally found a decent amount of success. It still was tedious. It still took a dozen hours, maybe more. And a lot of it's like, you can do it like it was doing the thing for me. It was really great. It rehosted all the images, which was the biggest problem in trying to migrate from Squarespace to Shopify. And we got a package. Hopefully we'll pay attention to see if the shop board works. Think they're on it. And one of the harder things was to get like some of the pages remade, like just like a very basic advertisement of services. It felt really weird and kind of like wrong, but I like basically I'm just getting rid of like the front page of the old Squarespace because like there's not really a point for it anymore. Like, our main business is not advertising services and education and products
Whoa.
minimally. It's like we sell products now. So I don't know.
So that front page is
Wrong. It
going to
feels
go.
wrong, but it's done.
That front splash screen that always just had like CNC
Dust boot.
education, that's going to go. And so you're dropping straight to product land.
Yeah, it'll just, I mean, I'm about ready to
Sweet.
switch it over. I need like another good segment of a couple hours of focus. I thought you had a pregnancy test in your hand. And I
No,
was
it's one
like,
of those box
big
cutters.
surprise.
Live on the air. Why not?
Show, we announce pregnancies.
Yeah, cool. That's
Yeah.
exciting. I've always found that front page a little bit awkward from the product side of product point of view.
Oh yeah. Oh, you had told me at one point, like, oh, it doesn't even show. I don't remember what was there. Machining of some sort, routing before, and you were like, I don't know where the dust boot is. And I was like, I guess I could put a dust boot image there. And that's about all I
Give me
did.
the And so you let the agents loose on the website. I too have been doing this. I think it's been a couple of weeks since we chatted because I was sicky, as you can hear. I think
Feeling
that
pretty good.
weekend after we chatted to Justin Gray, I just had a very productive weekend making like hundreds of web edits with Cursor. And it all went pretty well. I was like, this is amazing. I mean, like, it's the stuff that I've talked to you
Until you
about
find your
over
menus.
until your menus go. This is like the stuff that I talk to you about all the time of like, I should be working on conversion rate optimization. Like, yes, there's more exciting things to be doing in my shop, but I should be doing like the fact that the tiny little bit of text next to the product doesn't explain how it works, or the blah, 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 or this little button on the product detail page doesn't do blah. And I finally got to heaps of that stuff that weekend and just powered through it. Gave Cursor like full Shopify access, when it had its little greasy fingers in everywhere, I was like, wow, this is, feels slightly risky, but also just like this is months of work otherwise, just clicking through to each like little bit in Shopify to make an edit and like hope that it's all consistent and blah, blah, blah. So it was great. And then I went to Google, whatever it's called, and hit the re-index request and like re-indexed all these new pages I'd made or updated and blah, blah, blah. Felt great. And then Shopify sales just like fell off a cliff. It was like crickets for like a week and a half after I'd done this. I was just sitting here going, oh my God, was it me? I don't think it was me. I'm pretty sure I did everything well, but.
It tends to always be me in those cases. It's always me.
Like the traffic was still there. I was still getting the same amount of traffic, but like there was just zero sales.
Like we haven't had a sale today and I'm getting nervous now. What did I do?
I don't know. It's like the small business curse of like, oh my God, nobody's buying anything. We're all going to die. This is the end. Anyway.
You mentioned.
I was just close the loop on that. Finally, yesterday we had like a flurry of orders and like, oh God. Okay. It's not completely broken.
Like good. It.
Sorry. Right. Go on.
No, just the normal lag of thinking, I was like, my turn to talk. Nope.
Yeah. Nope.
I was doing the same. I've been starting to get errors because I have the Squarespace and the Shopify set up on separate search engine, whatever, console things with Google. And so I glance at them every once in a while. I do find it interesting and sometimes helpful to, it's almost like when you see people searching for things, you're like, oh, maybe that, you know, maybe it inspires some product design or change in the website or something that can help people get to the thing they want. And there was a search. I always like to go down through the search results of like what people clicked to get to your website. And there was just one that said big ass CNC. And I was like, what does that mean? And there was like 20 some impressions and two clicks. And so I just searched it myself in a private window. And guess what? PDX CNC comes up top of the text results and the image, like the whole first page of images is like us. And it's all related to the big ass sale, which is just funny to me that like, I guess I need to make something that people can buy that's related to big ass CNCs.
Yeah. You've got that search term locked up. It's all yours. No one else is.
Got it.
Strangely enough, no one else is using that term. I don't know why.
Should I just make a shirt or some stickers?
Make a shirt first, yes. I mean, your baby pants sticker, original baby pants sticker is a great sticker. I do love it.
Uh-huh.
I need more merch. That was the other unlock for me doing that web work that weekend. It was about 3 days of feverish activity. Like I had three children within my charge at the same time, and I was like, laptop was just sitting adjacent, and every now and then I'd walk over it and see what it'd done and be like, yell at it briefly, and then go back to looking after the kids. So
Dad, what are you doing?
What are you doing? No, my eldest is, she gets really shitty with me now. Like if I do too much work at home, she's like, why are you working all the time? Get off.
Mine's,
get off your phone.
Mine's doing the same thing. Yeah.
I was going to say.
And it makes me feel bad.
Yeah, it's good. She's got a landline phone now. It's pretty hilarious.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Like the 90s, like Telstra landline plugged in at home. And so she's been sick.
Twirling the cord.
A lot this week. Yeah, it's amazing. The cord twirling is like genetically baked in, but she calls us now regularly. We're at work and she's at home. But what I was going to say, the Google Search Console nonsense, all of that, like you get those little emails from Google, like the indexing has failed on blah, blah, these products for this reason. And like I was used to read those emails and like, I have no idea what that means and I don't know how to fix it. So archive. Now I get those emails. I just feed them to my Cursor Shopify agent. Yep. Like, please help. Fix, please.
Right.
And it goes, it's like, oh, you just need these keywords here, blah, 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 blah. It slams through it. It's awesome. So I don't know if it'll help, but I came out of that feeling so optimistic of like, I fixed the website. Bring on the orders.
Right.
And then there was nothing. But we'll see.
Have you clicked on the tab? I'm sure it's putting it on your homepage of Shopify where it's the dashboard where it's like, well, test your changes with AI shoppers, which some app that wants to try to use AI to shop, pretend to shop, and then you go look at it and it's just like horrible reviews. And I was like, I tried that. And then the other is, oh, see how you're selling in AI channels, and you can now, sales channel is agentic, and then you can see what your sales are coming from. Like I have ChatGPT and apparently Copilot, and there's others, but I don't have any from those yet, which is, find that interesting.
Yeah. That was the other thing I did, was like try and optimize for agents to crawl, like, people search agent first searching, because so many people are doing that now.
Right. It does feel like we finally tipped over into, finally, I'm doing this, right? Like I'm using Cursor to like, I don't know if it's, I think it's an MCP server. I finally figured out the one you were using. It took me forever. I kept like not being helpful. Right. And I finally got in where it's got like full access to Shopify. And that's been, I was using it this morning to, we're launching the new BT40 tool tag towers after 2 years and saying it's going to come. I finally just did it. I found a way easier way to modify them from the Cat40 ones than I had ever had before. And it wasn't like a AI hack. I just like figured out a little trick modeling, and that was way easier. And so, but there's just like a lot of SKU copying, duplicating. And like it basically let me just through the tool. I was like, hey, can you copy the Cat40 and then update wherever it says Cat40 to BT40? And it missed a lot of stuff because basically whatever you don't ask it to do, it didn't copy. So then I was like, all right, well, we need to copy all the weights and the costs and the prices this morning. And it like did it, just like done.
Yep.
I didn't have to go through each variant and do all that messy stuff. So I'm finding a lot of uses.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Sorry, I cut you off there. Mm-hmm. Lag.
No. Was it?
This is the holder for the tag for the
BT40. Mm-hmm.
Tags that you already do. Yeah,
the tags are pretty easy for us to, well, it might change at this point because now that we have so many versions, when you have to make significant changes, it just blows the model up because so much of it's patterned. And when I have to, my sketches are not resilient enough when they really scale a lot to different sizes, and they just, it just gets, it's such a chaos mess. And then trying to dial it into the right size and stuff, I just didn't put it off because it just doesn't seem a top product priority for all of our opportunities. So finally did it, and I need to get some more images on it, but it's ready for purchase. I think it's mostly a European thing, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. And it differs from Cat40, obviously, BT40. Yeah, Cat40,
minimally.
Yeah.
It's like minimally. 1 or 2 mil, which all of these variations are like BT30 and ISO 30 are like the same. It's like 1 to 2 mil in the diameter.
Yeah.
Sometimes the height too.
Cool.
Yeah.
And in this period of the 2 weeks we haven't recorded, you had some good sales, I believe. Was that within this period? No. When did you finish your sale? Your big ass sale.
Right.
That wasn't
I was sending you some analysis afterwards. That was the thing I was going to say, that I've mentioned this a few times, but the other tipping point that feels like it's been now, I don't know, 6 weeks or something, but they've made some silent updates over time with the Shopify like sidekick AI thing. And it was just laughably terrible at first. And now it's like pretty fantastic. It still is not as like actionable. It's not doing things like you can do with like the AI MCP stuff, but like I'm using for so many like analytical things, like, oh, when are we going to run out of this product, or like what's my sales over the last 205 days or whatever you want it to be, and it'll get like a very accurate picture. And then you can save those as like reports and come back to them. And I just find that that's been like, I can do some of that in VQO, but it's just VQO is a pretty stupid program that it breaks all the time when you try to load certain windows. And just being able to like, it's like the true benefit of like LLMs, I think, for us is just asking it for exactly what you want and getting that exact thing you want.
Yeah, I'm not in the habit of using that little sidekick thing much, except for occasionally trying to find a setting or fix something. But I should be looking at that, you know. Maybe it will tell me whether it was my fault there were no sales.
Yeah, I kind of use it in like glorified Clippy, I suppose, in a lot of ways right now. But
oh, Clippy. Yeah.
Come but yeah, back to us. Maybe to wrap up with it, that the sale was really good in May. Our sales through May is kind of not surprisingly was our best month ever. And it slowed down. June has started off a little slower, which also makes sense.
Yeah.
We're currently on this pace of like, we've been doing a little work around the shop, tidying some stuff up and painting and rearranging some stuff. We're moving the laser cutter across the shop, moving Ricky's desk. There's just a bunch of little stuff that had been on our minds for a long time. Bought some cabinets. We need more storage.
Yeah. Tell me about the storage rearrange.
Yeah. You guys have, I'm assuming you guys use the list of cabinets down there too. You know of those?
No, they're very American YouTuber.
Like Swedish or something?
Are they? Okay. Maybe you can buy them here.
I was always a little like, I guess I still feel that way. They're very expensive. I spent $1,200 on two of them. Used. Very used. They work very well still. They are absurdly heavy. Like, so I got rented a rental U-Haul trailer. Planning to go buy one of them that I'd found on Marketplace because we needed one in the shipping area. We've just kind of run out of... We needed more deeper space underneath like where the label machines were in the printer, like paper printer stuff. And so I was like, one of these cabinets would, you know, kind of looking for a certain size, and it was basically perfect. It was a 7-drawer Lista. It's like 28 by 28 by 40 or something. And so this place had like 3 or 4 of them. And I was like, well, maybe I can negotiate something better here. And like, basically got a deal on one that was also a 10 drawer. And that thing, I want to say, is like, I don't know, 300, 400 pounds empty. It is so like without a forklift, we would have been so screwed. Like it was so hard to get out of the trailer.
My Lord, they are expensive, new, far out.
Something like $1,500, right? Or more.
Way more here. Yeah. Lordy Lou.
Yeah, so I always thought they were a little crazy. Since we've now got them in the shop, I think I get it more. It's kind of like, you know, everything like that, buying a Festool, you know, saw or something. You're like, okay.
You've tasted the Lister Kool-Aid now. You get it?
But I don't know. I don't know that we'll ever be buying them new. I'm looking at $4,000 prices for the one I just got. That's insane. Well, yeah. I cannot imagine. But
anyway. Yeah, I just associate them with tooling cribs in like American machinist YouTube videos. That's my
what's your equivalent? Do you have anything else?
No, I don't know.
Some kind of like
just a tool drawer from Bunnings.
Right. That's what we have like Harbor Freight or Home Depot stuff otherwise. And I honestly couldn't find the right size. Like none of them were. Like the depth was pretty amazing because there's so many things we have product wise that like they're not super big, but you know, tool holders, for example, like they're pretty heavy. You know, you can't put too many of those in like a cheap drawer. And then it does have these nice features, which others do too, where it only lets you open one drawer at a time so you don't topple 1,000 pounds on top of yourself. But we're just getting them loaded up, starting to get loaded up.
Very cool.
On that note, have you ever seen there's like YouTube channels that do look at my tool chest, Cribs style, like, what's in this drawer? And they literally go through each drawer and like talk about it. Like, I watched like two or three of these. They're like an hour long, like tours of people's drawers. Different types of professionals that have like just the most expensive, crazy Snap-on tool sets. And
yeah.
I got bored after two of them.
I should do that, but just show off the chaos of my drawer and my tool trolley.
Yeah, I like it. What else is new?
What else is new? What have I been doing this week? I've been had a bit of robot time this week. I came in, I was starting to feel a little bit better, so I came in and did a few nights robot programming. I can't believe it's taken me 9 months, more, 10 months, to go from buying those robots to like having the four main production sanding programs done for our Kidder Parts shelves. I mean, part of me understands why that's taken so long, but that's a bit of a milestone. And there's still like heaps of tweaks I'll want to make to the code in terms of little things, but you can walk up to Abby and Tiny now and set them up with a program each, and they're interdependent. They talk to each other and they now sand all four sizes of the Kidder Parts shelf. So that feels momentous. Pretty happy with that. So yeah
that's crazy.
I got a bit of that done.
They work together.
They work together pretty well. Yeah.
Gonna need more content on this.
I know. It's been ages since I did anything on the bots on YouTube. They talk to each other in a basic fashion, just with this little, you know, one line in, one line out, sort of. So they wait for each other. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of part of the reason it worked this week is because I was much more disciplined and I actually got some deep work done around like, okay, this is how it's going to work, and like map the system more. Like up until now, like my folder structure is sort of indicative of how much of a mess it is. It's just like test code programs everywhere dumped out with poor naming conventions. And this week I was like, when I got in and started, I was like, right, okay, let's start with the folder structure, get that tight, get the naming convention locked in. Cause there's like, Abby, to do one shelf, Abby has to run a master program, like three sub programs that have to all be linked. And then Tiny's running a master program as well. And so like, that was the first thing I did, was just tidied up those conventions, and that helped, because then I could go, right, that's more clear. I now need to extrapolate that out to the other sizes of shelves. And yeah, got a bit of that done this week, which was good. And otherwise I've just been quoting guy, web guy. Just like, you know, too many projects in Cursor running concurrently. A whole bunch of web stuff. I've been working on the new shelves configurator for the other product line. And I've just casually shared that with a few customers who have been looking at the product, and they've ended up checking out twice this week. So
it worked. Nice.
Yeah, it's working, which is cool. And nice to see a couple of checkouts.
Come on, Rand. Hello.
Yeah. That's my week.
Yeah.
Really much.
Seems like good progress. So you had some person helping you out. I think you posted with the robots. Was that like a official employee of one of the, of like ABB? Or just somebody that you had like a story of somebody helping you with the robots, maybe? No. The other gem I know in Australia.
The other guy. What? I got a table tennis robot that arrived this week for training purposes. I don't know what you're talking about. No, it's just me.
Okay.
It's just Gem and the robots.
It's Gem and the robots.
Unless Gem, I'm forgetting.
Jemmy and the Jets.
Thanks. And I've just been, Johnny and I have just been feverishly making skills all week, because we're both like hooked on Cursor these days.
I haven't tried as much of that yet.
Mm.
What have you been making?
Me particularly. I've been making skills for everything and sharing some with Johnny. It's great. It's great. You should see our GitHub history.
What's an example?
It's on fire. This week I have been enjoying Caveman, which is not one I made. That's one I collected and have been using heavily. It reduces token usage and just reduces the extremely verbose output of some of these models.
Oh, I like the idea.
It's really nice. I'll share that one with you if you don't have it. What else will you be making? Just like in each environment, like when I came in that night to do the ABB robot programming, I was like, cool, stop stuffing around. Every time I start a new session in this environment, you dick around and you look at the wrong reference files. And that's my fault for not keeping the folder organized. But I was like, cool, this, when we work on this stuff together, I want to, I use the create a skill to make a skill. And like, mm-hmm. cool, set up a skill for every time I'm working on rapid code with the ABBs and like just set some ground rules. And it's like, under 200 lines of code that just sets up the agent straight off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, this was Johnny's idea, was like, start of a session, you get it to pull the GitHub down for that project. So it's got like the most up-to-date file set. And then you plug in the skill and then off you go. And you've got like really tight, good, clean context to then get some work done. So, yeah.
And you each are just working on main right now, right?
Only main. I'm all about the main. Yeah, I love main. I don't really understand the world beyond main, to be honest. I know I can roll back to whatever point.
Yeah, it just depends on the project. I mean, a lot of it's some of the stuff we talked about with Justin, but I've mentioned before too, it's like the idea that you're separating, like I have in an AirShop context, I have a bunch of different prototypes basically, or things that I'm not certain that are fully functional working and I need to do more testing before not usually destructive, but just like frustrations, right? Like,
yeah,
they don't work well, or it's really wasteful process or something. And I guess in your context, it is a lot more complicated because then you're working with merges and stuff, but it is pretty well handled by AI anymore. Where an example, you and Johnny could be accidentally making conflicts.
Yep.
And it not being covered very well. Whereas if you're each working on outside of a main branch in the center, you're each working on things. And then when it goes to merge, you're kind of both aware of what's happening. And then you kind of leapfrog each other, probably.
Mm.
I don't know. We'll see. Wait for it to be a problem, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I think I'm starting to see that as a potential problem. Like, we've had a couple of instances where we've probably been working on, like, we've made changes, the simple stuff, like we've both made changes to our shared Rhino scripts, for instance, and one of us has made changes but not pushed, and then we've both pushed, and then GitHub's gone, oh hey, you've got conflict.
It's
here,
so confusing when that happens, even when I'm on my own.
Yeah,
I was like, which one?
So yeah, can see how that's going to become an issue, but
I don't know.
Yep.
The caveman description on the GitHub, I'm assuming, is where you got it. It starts with a rock and says, why use main token when few token do trick?
It's my new best friend. I love it. Things and stuff. What was a whole gaggle of Autodesk employees doing at your shop this week, Justin?
There's like a connection that I would work with on some Fusion-related stuff. Asked if we'd be interested in hosting, I don't remember their actual team name, marketing across Autodesk to come. And so there was like 13 people that arrived and kind of did like the standard tour of here's the business. It's like, I don't know if any of them knew who we were, which was an interesting thing for like all the people I work with Autodesk, like know us, watched videos, or, we've communicated a lot. So it's like, like meeting a whole new crew, but two of them had some connection with Fusion minimally, maybe one more than the rest. And so they're trying to figure out, it seemed like, I guess the right way to say is like messaging around, whether it's in apps, in the app, or like, yeah, I don't know, throughout advertising and like website stuff. And the one thing we ended up talking about was like, I was lamenting a frustration with that Fusion's great that it updates all the time, but that can also cause like massive issues. Like when the, you know, like when something crashes, or like suddenly I can't update how the heights tabs all change and you don't know why. And they're like, well, you know, typically that stuff maybe would be communicated in email. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if I read most of those, you know, like pretty long email. And I get a lot of them from like Insider, and I don't read any of those because they don't seem like they affect me most of the time. And so we had conversations about like, how would you want that to be better? And I was like, well, if it's going to be a problem in the Heights tab, I want it to be right there. I don't want like a splash page where I'm not going to read that either. I'm going to just miss that. I want, like, as I'm editing Heights, to go, hey, did you know this changed? Like, you can make your own Clippy or something. Just like point at it and say, did you know this might cause an issue? You might crash your machine. We talked for a while and it seemed like it was useful for them. Yeah, real people conversations, I think, where they're theorizing otherwise.
Yeah. Nice. That's cool. You posted about it, right? Did you post it? Is that how I saw it?
Yeah, just a story. Yeah, it's nothing secret, really.
No, like I saw that and I was like, oh, that's right. Justin's like connected with those people. It's cool. It's like, I think like, it's a good validation, external validation, right? Of like, Autodesk is interested enough in your little company to send a whole team of people out to have a chat. Yeah. That's cool.
I think I'm convenient, you know, connected. And they're all in town. Maybe in more interesting news, we have a door, finally, not a hole in the wall. Found a door. Took
very cool.
A lot of time. Took a lot of time, and it only cost $300, not $1,200. Like within a week, the contractors we had talked to about it came and put it in, and it's a little rough. Like it has some damage, which it was from like a factory seconds place.
Perfect.
And I need to put some trim on and a door handle and paint it, but like it was like a quarter of the cost of what commercial doors were. And I was like, whatever, I don't know, it'll work. Satisfies the permit.
Oh, is that related to a permit? Right. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Good. I liked your little hole in the wall. Had to walk sideways, crab walk through it. It had character.
I don't know if I said this here. In the process of having too small of a hole in the wall, we had some awkward situations with visitors that weren't small people that couldn't fit very well. And I immediately was like, all right, cutting a bigger hole in the wall. Like after that group had left, I was just like, I felt so bad in that case of like a group of us went through and a selection couldn't. I was like, oh no, oh no. I don't like that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like it wouldn't technically fall under like ADA lawsuit because we're under construction still, but it still does. You know, I got the Sawzall out and I was like, all right, one more stud over. Here we go.
Nice. It was funny. I messaged you the other day because it was like Tuesday night and I was on my way to table tennis. And traditionally, or often when I'm on my way to table tennis, is around the exact hour that our pod publishes. And I do listen to it. I listen to ourselves because I find it useful to listen back to what I said last week. And because we'd missed a week, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just listen to an old one. And out of curiosity, I went all the way back and I loaded up episode one. And the sound, my sound quality was awful. Yours sounds perfect, of course. but
I don't remember that really.
I was struck by the fact that, like, when 2.5 years ago, whenever that was, more? I don't know. I lost track. Anyway.
I don't remember anymore.
No, it's more than that. It was like 2022.
You guessed the date. I'm going to tell you.
April 2022. I was struck by the fact that in episode one, we were talking about software, like, and ERPs, and like that was the main focus of the conversation.
Workflowy, Airtable.
Yeah,
you're looking at ERPs. Yeah. I'm looking at the notes. We had a lot of stuff. That was like our first time. No, we had talked without recording like barely once for 10 minutes or something.
We stupidly didn't record the first chat. Idiots. And then that was our first long form one. And at the end, I like, we're saying goodbye and I'm like, thanks, Justin. I use your name. And it like really like, I was like, whoa, so formal. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you. I will see you again in 1 week.
I will see you next time.
Formally announced time. I like it. The third to last show note was microphone stand question mark. Did you hold a microphone the whole time?
I think it was just taped.
I remember this.
Taped on a stick of wood.
Yeah. And you were also rebuilding your Shopify theme.
I know. It's not much has changed, right?
That was, you were dead on. It was April. We recorded April 6th of 2022 and it went out on the 12th. So it only took us 6 days. We did have a period of time in those early days where we were recording. We were trying to record it like a day or two before it went out. And we were just like not doing well, figuring out how to, like, we'd always have some issue and be like, oh my God, we're going to stay up for 5 hours trying to edit this thing so we can put it out the right time, you know?
The technicalities early on were frustrating.
Silly.
Yeah. But I'm about to have a coughing fit, I think. I have been having one already. So on the mute button.
Yeah.
So I might toddle off.
Okay.
But
I did. Yeah. I think my only other thought
any last words?
I put this on here for, I think it was last week, but I haven't made a ton of updates other than I made a method, like a basically a different version of a blog post thing for Airshop where it's just all about updates, like kind of a, I think you had mentioned this, like, why am I not getting emails? And it's like, I still haven't done the email thing, but the first step was now whenever there's like something notable, minimally notable, I'm putting it into a post and it's on the Airshop like marketing page, and then it streams into the front page, like the dashboard of the app, so you can like see what the most up-to-date few posts are there. That's kind of a nice little, I'd say it's probably just quality of life, I suppose. And even though I talk about things we do here and I'm like, hey, check out the new thing on our Slack or whatever, it's like still half the time those things go past even the people that work here. And I'm like, now how do you miss it? It's like on the front page of the app when you're opening it. So I don't know. Sometimes it's easy to let stuff slip through and then you don't know it's there.
And are you going to email people about the update?
I should. The idea was, I was trying to make a pipeline for like when a post gets created, I can also use that content as the email basically. I could probably like customize it further, but that's kind of the next step. I have, like you said, I have about 16 different projects I'm working on and none of them feel finished right now, like this kind of
same
thing.
Yep.
And my migration, and I haven't finished, I haven't made a post about the payments being done in Airshop yet, and a bunch of other stuff. Shopboard, I need to finish up. That's pretty much ready to put live, and I've just needed to test it a little bit more and just don't feel comfortable putting that out yet.
So many tabs open. I just sent you a screenshot of my like front page of Cursor. I've started having to use emojis as thematic little markers of like
what the
projects, so I don't lose chats or conversations.
Where is this? How are you using? Is this agent mode or whatever?
Just in the agent window. It's pretty much all I use these days.
I guess I don't use that. I have different windows open for each. Like I make a file new window. I don't know. Just maybe that's, I think that's because of how it used to work. You didn't have this agent view until recently.
I've pretty much switched to using this. It's a terrible habit and I'm self-aware that it's terrible for me to have 10 projects open and I can context switch every 2 seconds. I'm doing deeper work, like when I was doing the ABB programming the other night, I opened a new window and just worked in one thing, and that was far better in terms of productivity of my brain.
Right.
So I shouldn't be doing this, but I continue to find myself working in this way where I've got everything open on the left-hand side there and I can switch between things, which...
That is interesting. Yeah. I might have to look at that. I mean, I don't... The thing that gets really complicated for my brain is I think I've got Shopboard, the landing page, Docs, the actual app. So is that 4 different repos for AirShop? And one now will start to update the others. And so I'll go to those windows and be like, what are these changed files? I'm like, oh, the other, like working on Shopboard. It is amazing though, because it's like you can update the documentation while you're updating the app, while it's updating the Shopboard repo. It's like the things that like I'm sure real human developers can do, but like it just feels so much more capable of like keeping its mind around. And I really have to keep my mind around all those things too, where I don't know what's been done and like what to publish. And that's kind of why I feel like it's slow. I get slowed down sometimes anymore. It's not so like, I guess it's getting bigger, right? It's less of like, oh, let's just add a little feature. And then now there's an update to make and the email, why I haven't made emails, right? It's like probably in a bigger company, it's teams of people that each hand off these steps to each other. But I did get some cred. We were in the standing around the UMC and I have that AirShop banner in there and we were getting towards the end. And he's just like, I just got to say, as we had talked about a little bit, as we were mentioning how Fusion could be better in relation to, like, his comparison was how integrated Maker World was with Bamboo Studio so that you could like pull files in and it's really integrated with the app. And I was like, well, I'd just love to see that. Like, I'd love to see it easier to open a file in Fusion. Like, and I was like, oh, I've made my own. We've done this with AirShop, right? And I talked about it a little bit, like the intention is where we can immediately open a file locally without having to upload it. And it's like, I know you guys know how to do this. Like, it just hasn't been prioritized, right? Like, I'm not like digging them. I'm just like, I don't think you see these workflows of, that's one of the most annoying things about Fusion to me is how hard it is to get files into the app. Like, I don't know, when you quote stuff, there's just a lot of files to be dealt with. And he was like, after that, like the guy I was talking to in that situation was like, I just got to say, that's a really great little slogan there. He's like, at first I thought you were taking a dig at us and you'd make the banner because it's like more desk, less shop. Like he thought that it was about Fusion. It's like, no, it's a separate software. And he's like, once that became clear, I was like, oh, that's really good. And it's like, I got some cred from the marketing people.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Very cool.
Do you have a smoke alarm dead?
Yeah, it just started nice beeping. Vibe. Just then. Welcome.
Yeah. Wild.
All right. I'm going to go.
Funny.
My friend. Gotta
go cough to yourself.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Beep.
To watch those mechanics online polishing chrome and their garage shrines, 7 doors deep, everything in its place. I'd laugh and say, not me, I'm not that guy. Bunnies and Harbor Freight got me by till the tool holders piled up in my face. Someone's gotta hold the weight before the whole thing tips and breaks. Now I'm a little
cabinet man. Found her on Marketplace, barely alive. Factory seconds, battle scars outside. Rented a trailer, called up my friend. 400 pounds of cold blue steel. We slid her off backwards, the whole thing real. Thought I was seeing my bitter end. Only one drawer opens at a time. That's a rule that keeps you alive. Now I'm a list of cabinet man, rolling ball bearings. Understand, I swore I wouldn't pay the toll. But now I'm 1,200 in the hole for a dented up Swedish soul. Yeah, I'm a list of cabinet man. Says it's an American curse, this obsession with making our wallets hurt. But he hasn't felt that glide, that click, that satisfying lock, that heavy steel tick. Once you taste the Kool-Aid, you can't go back to a rickety rack in a craftsman shack. Now I'm a list of cabinet man, rolling ball bearings. Understand, I swore I wouldn't pay the toll.